Buildings flew by at breakneck speed. Even as he ran, Remo was mapping a strategy. The Soundstage 9 truck was first. It was farther away than the other, but he had plans for the last vehicle. Fortunately, the extra had been right. The truck was where he said it would be. Though far from an explosives expert, Remo guessed the plot's truck had been positioned to inflict massive damage on not only Soundstage 9, but also on any structure in the immediate vicinity. Earthquake resistant or not, the flimsy Taurus buildings would have been blown from here to Fresno if all six bombs had gone off. As he flung the final extra into the rear of the penultimate truck, Remo prayed the man's Confederates had neutralized the other four bombs. With barely more than a minute to spare, the extra's only hope of survival was to disarm the bomb. He was scrambling over the heap of fertilizer as Remo slammed the door and mangled the lock. In no time, Remo was flying across the lot toward the commissary. His face was steel, his arms and legs featureless blurs as he tore down one avenue and ripped up another. The roads on which he ran were abandoned. The match of fear had been dropped, spreading panic like wildfire through the studio. Everyone had fled. Remo only hoped the master of Shinanju had gone as well. Hurtling around the side of the commissary, he found the last truck precisely where the extra had said it would be. He sprinted to the vehicle. 34 seconds. Remo didn't even bother with the trailer. He knew nothing about dismantling bombs. His only hope was to minimize the damage. As he flung open the cab door, a horrible thought sprang to mind.
Keys.
He'd forgotten to ask for them. 30 seconds to go. Remo had hot-wired cars before, but never that fast. He doubted he could get it done in time. He dove beneath the dashboard. A dangling weight brushed his short hair. Spinning to the source, he found the keys hanging from the ignition an inch from his nose.
Thank God for amateurs.
He slid back up into the driver's seat and twisted the keys hard. 28 seconds left. How far was it to drive back across the lot? Even as he wondered the distance, he stomped on the gas. The big truck lumbered forward, slowly at first, but with greater speed with each passing second. Remo plowed over whatever was in his way. Clothing racks and backdrops were crushed under speeding treads. Ahead, he spied an open hangar door. Remo jounced through the opening, straight into the soundstage. In the semi-darkness of the huge interior, lights and cameras bounced off the grill. He saw another hangar door, but this one closed. Shifting, Remo accelerated. The final burst of speed punched the truck right through it, bursting out into bright sunlight. An instant of relief swept Remo. He had oriented himself correctly. The truck was now headed precisely where he wanted it to go. 18 seconds to go. All at once, a familiar figure was standing in the truck's path, daring Remo to run him down, his parchment face furious. Chun. He hadn't fled with the rest.
Get out of the way!
Eyes slivers of angry disbelief, Chun stood his ground until the last instant. Only when it became clear that Remo had no intention of stopping did he bound from the rushing truck's path. The instant after the old man's eggshell pate vanished from before the windshield, the passenger's side door burst open. The master of Shinanju blew into the speeding truck's cab like a raging wind.
What is the meaning of this?
There's no time!
Before them appeared the outdoor New York set. Remo had seen it on one of his bored tours of the studio last year. It looked to have been abandoned for ages. Cries for realism had forced most films and television programs to relocate to the real New York. But today, there was equipment everywhere. The truck barreled onto the set.
I thought this place was abandoned!
Equipment crashed away from the cab, flying in every direction as the big vehicle lumbered forward. Beside him, Chun's eyes widened in shock.
Remo, have you gone mad?
There's a bomb on board this truck!
Chun's hazel eyes grew to saucers of incredulity.
What?
Run!
Even as Remo was jumping out one way, Chun was leaping out the other. Both men hit the ground running. The truck careened headlong into one of the phony buildings. The very real brick wall behind it stopped the truck dead, nose crumpling back through the cab to the trailer. The impact didn't set off the explosives. Neither man looked at the other as they raced side by side for the end of the lot. They hit the main concourse to the sound stages. Still, they didn't slow. In his head, Remo was counting down the time. 7 seconds. Remo remembered the cratered Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City and similar blasts at embassies in Africa. They might not be far enough away. 5 seconds. Not enough distance. Not enough time to get away. 3 seconds. Remo felt himself being lifted in the air and thrown forward. Something flashed in his peripheral vision. Hands windmilling, slicing furiously at air, should sail past. And in that sliver of airborne time, at the hellish forefront of a consuming wave of raw, explosive energy, Remo finally noticed the master of Shinanju's costume. In his altered police uniform, the old man looked like Korea's answer to the Keystone Cops. Remo made a mental note to ask Chun about the outfit when they reached the void, for there was no doubt in his mind that they were both going to die. And as this final thought flitted through Remo's brain, the wave of intense heat from the powerful blast overwhelmed them.